بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد، my brothers and sisters, we are talking about Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم as an example for all time. And as I mentioned to you, there were three things that he, in my view, three things that he emphasized and he exemplified. He both taught these things, he spoke about these things, and he also exemplified these things by practicing them and demonstrating them in his own life. And the first of them was accountability to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and living your life with that understanding and demonstrating that in your life. The second one I want to talk to you about today is truthfulness. Now, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was known among his people even before he started preaching Islam as the most truthful and trustworthy of people, to the extent that they gave him a title called As-Sadiqul Amin, the truthful and the trustworthy. And what's more, and what's even more remarkable, is that even when after he declared Islam, and when he started preaching Islam, when he faced huge opposition from his people, and he faced huge hostility from his people, they tried their best to malign him. They called him Majnoon. They said he is crazy, he is mad. They said he is possessed by some jinn or something. They told people don't believe him, don't follow him, and so on and so on. They told people to, you know, plug their ears with cotton wool so that they would not hear the recitation of the Quran when Rasulullah ﷺ would recite it. They did all this, but nobody called him a liar. Nobody called him a liar. Nobody said that he could not be trusted, that he was a cheat. Now imagine, this is the situation even in a state of intense hostility. And you can imagine the hostility was to the extent where they wanted to kill him. They tried to kill him many times. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to save him, so Allah saved him. And eventually they drove him out of Makkah. You know, when we talk about the Hijrah, we say Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam migrated to Medina. He didn't migrate to Medina. He went to Medina as a refugee. Right, he didn't go and say, "Well, let me go to Medina. It's a nice place, you know, nice date gardens and streams and so on, and nice wells with fresh water. And Makkah doesn't have all that. Medina has better scenery." He's not going for that. He didn't go to marry somebody to start a business in Medina. He went to Medina because he had no other place to go. He could not live in Makkah anymore. The people of Makkah, his own family, including members of his own family, those who were closest to him, the Quraysh, the tribe that he belonged to, including the Banu Hashim. And these people became his enemies. And people made his life terrible in Makkah, and they did not allow him to do anything. So eventually he had to leave, and he left and he went to Medina. But despite all that, nobody ever called him a liar, because he never lied. He always spoke the truth, no matter what the cost of speaking that truth was. Someone asked him in a beautiful hadith, which we know, someone asked him, "Is it possible that a Muslim may be a coward? Is it possible that a Muslim may be a coward?" Rasulullah ﷺ said, "Yes, that is possible." They asked him, "Is it possible that a Muslim may commit adultery?" And Rasulullah ﷺ said, "Yes, that is also possible." They asked him, "What is it that a Muslim cannot possibly do?" Rasulullah ﷺ said, "A Muslim cannot tell a lie." Imagine this, a Muslim cannot tell a lie. There is a beautiful hadith of a man who came to Rasulullah ﷺ, and he was a very sincere human being. So he came to him and he said, "Ya Rasulullah, O Prophet of Allah, I am a weak man. I do a lot of wrong things in my life. I know they are wrong, but you know, I am weak and I am stuck in this." So he listed all sorts of things which he did, and he said, "I am really, you know, I want to give up at least start by giving up some of these vices. So I am willing to give up one vice. Right? So I can't give up everything. I am addicted to many of these things, so I can't give them up, but I am willing to do one. So tell me, which one should I give up? Now, imagine if this man was, if he was committing adultery and alcohol and, you know, God knows what. He would have expected that Rasulullah ﷺ would have told him one of the, within quotes, big ones. But Rasulullah ﷺ said to him, give up lying. Right? Don't tell a lie. So now, presumably this man must have thought that, well, this is an easy one. Because, what's so tough, what's so difficult about that? So he would have gone home thinking that he got an easy sort of rebate from his difficulty. But then what happened to him was that thereafter, say he went back home, and then maybe in the evening he wanted to go and hang out with his friends in his drinking joint. And then he thought to himself, well, if tomorrow I meet Rasulullah ﷺ and he asks me, where were you last night, what would I tell him? I mean, obviously, I can't tell him I was having a drink with my friends, because it is haram, I'm a Muslim. And so, one by one, whenever this man had a temptation to do something wrong, what came to his mind was, I have promised the Prophet ﷺ that I will not tell a lie. And I, therefore, can't do this thing, because if I do it and he asks me, I can't tell a lie, and I would be totally ashamed to say this in front of him, so I can't do it. Just by leaving that one thing, which is telling lies, that man's life became completely pure. That man let go of everything wrong that he was doing. Rasulullah ﷺ taught us not to tell a lie even as a joke. Even as a joke. You know, we have these April Fool jokes and so on, and then of course a lot of our humor is just lies. Rasulullah ﷺ said, do not lie even as a joke. He said, speak the truth. By all means, please do joke, no problem, but do it with truth. Why must you tell a lie to tell a joke? And obviously, this applies to all kinds of false advertising. It applies to enhancing and talking about things in a way which they are not really suited for, and so on and so forth. So there are a lot of things that we do in our lives which really need to be thought about. So lying, he never told a lie, and he was completely and totally trustworthy. Now the issue is, he taught that virtue and vice are absolute values. They are not relative to your personal worth. They are not relative to your personal worth or religion or race or anything. Right and wrong they don't depend on who does them. That is why truthfulness is the basis of all goodness. If something is right, it is right no matter who does it. If something is wrong, it is wrong no matter who does it. Rasulullah ﷺ held himself to this value of truthfulness to such an extent that when he was migrating, when he was leaving for Medina from Makkah, and his life was threatened, he left he had to quietly leave in a night. Even at that time, there were valuables that his enemies had entrusted him with. Those he still had. They didn't come to ask him to give those back. They had given it to him in trust, and they didn't expect him to take them away and go away. He still had them, and before he left, he gave them to his cousin Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, and instructed them to return them to their owners. Now, what can you say about truthfulness of someone who was trusted by his own enemies? Now, this is the value that he taught. And this is the value that his companions, radiallahu anhum, learnt. There is this beautiful story of Suhaib al-Rumi, radiallahu anhu, who was a sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and who was an archer, he was a businessman. And this is a long story, I don't want to take your time here, but the point is that he was escaping, he got cornered on a hilltop and surrounded by his pursuers, and he said to them, I will tell you where I have hidden my treasure. Go and take it and let me go. They asked him, they said, okay, tell us. He told them, they left him and they went away. Now think about that, that if you were in their place, wouldn't you send somebody to check first whether the man is lying or not lying? But they didn't do that because they knew that Muslims don't lie. They knew that Suhaib al-Rumi radiallahu anhu was not lying. They knew that he couldn't lie. Now this is the point I'm making, which is that this issue of telling lies is such an important thing, or of not telling lies is such an important thing, that those who do it, alhamdulillah, they stand out. They stand out from everybody else because they don't tell lies. And this is the basis of all credibility, of all trustworthiness. And remember, it doesn't have to be big things, small things. One of the most common places where we tell lies is that we promise things and we don't do them. Very simple one. I'll meet you at 10 o'clock. And 10 o'clock, there's no sign of you. There's no sign of you. There is no message from you. There is nothing. You just have disappeared from the earth. And the other guy must now sit around and wait for you, or he must, you know, I don't know what, he has to contact you, or he just says, well, you know, oh, after all, he's a Muslim. Now imagine, all these jokes we make about Arab time and Muslim time and so on and so on, what is it really saying? It means that we have taken to lying, and lying has become our hallmark. Lying has become our signature. My brothers and sisters, I remind myself and you, let us live our lives like the life of Rasulullah. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent him, so that he can be followed and he can be emulated. Let us try to do that. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya rahman rahim.